Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP, Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. We are officially coming to you from Steelers Week live, so it's a little tense.
Yeah.
Little tense around these parts. People are they're feeling it.
Yeah.
It's always amazing to me how the vibe can change as soon as Steelers Week happens from what it's been.
Yeah, especially coming off a bye week.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of assumed, especially today, you know, recording this Monday afternoon, Paul, that guys would be around, kind of in a good mood. A lot of guys went on trips. For their social media accounts,
mm-hmm.
Very sunny place. So maybe that's why they're grumpy. They're not like on a beach on a boat.
I mean, they probably felt like we did coming back off a bye week on a Monday. Yeah. It was sort of like, ugh. Dude, players love showing themselves having a good time on vacations and on boats.
Yeah.
Of course, so do we. So do people. I guess so. I shouldn't really say it as players, but it's always, I want to live Carlos Dunlap's life where I'm just like, whenever there's downtime, he's in Miami on a beach rolling on the boat.
Yeah.
Drake Kirkpatrick went to L.A. He was hanging out in Hollywood. I think it was Man's Chinese Theater.
Yeah.
Gucci, of course, had to stop at the Gucci store.
Yep.
Get that. I mean, everybody was going back to their colleges. Gino.
Yeah.
Gino back to Georgia. He tweeted.
Posted some things.
Yeah. But I just post things.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, so, but really, there was, what, out of 53, Paul, what would you say? Maybe like 10 guys that kind of filter through the locker room?
A sampling, yeah.
No one who you would call, you know, a star that you'd want to, I mean, Carlos was available for a little bit, briefly. I caught him, and he was like, I gotta go to lunch.
Andy Dalton came through there, and the reporters started to flock towards him, and he said, I've got to go watch something.
Yeah.
And took off. I think it just, you know, from that and just from sort of judging some of the conversations, you had one.
Yeah.
That was weird. It had a vibe of they've sort of been told we are not going to be in the media. We are not going to be talking this rivalry up. We are going to go about our business quietly this week. It felt like that was a message.
Yeah, especially guys turning stuff down. Like, mm-hmm. No, I'm not available, which is weird in this locker room. And, I asked William Jackson III kind of just some, if he could draw off the road game in Green Bay, if he could apply it, his experience being a rookie, essentially first-year player, you know, with a quarterback and receivers that are, you know, have a chemistry, and he didn't answer the question. It was just like, it's just another game. I was like, okay, it's not really what I'm asking. And then I asked him about, run discipline on the edges with a Le'Veon Bell. And then he's kind of started to answer, and then Clayton Fegelum is saying, don't answer, and you just stay outside, and William Jackson's like, you're just trying to hype a game. This is just a game. I'm like, that's not what I was asking. I mean, it was very weird.
It was like somebody had been told they're going to try to hype this game. Don't let them hype the game.
Right.
And so they're looking for you to show up and ask questions about hyping the game.
Right, when that wasn't even a question.
Asking about football.
Right.
That you know, and the fact that not many guys were in there, it just sort of felt like, okay, here we go. It's a Steelers week, not feeding into the thing. It just felt like a message had been delivered. Now, right. We may be wrong. Maybe everyone will be in there on Wednesday, and they'll all be at their lockers, and they'll all be talking trash
right.
about the Steelers. I mean, right. You never know. But it at least today, that's sort of what it felt like. Yeah. We'll see.
Especially, like I said, in the context of a bye week, of two straight wins, everyone number two defense in the league, everyone kind of feeling themselves a little bit, knowing there's work to do, but, you know, hey, you win a game and you're back to square one. I mean, I didn't expect it. Put it this way, Paul, I would have expected sort of this vibe on Wednesday or Thursday once you're putting in game plan and all that stuff.
But, yeah.
You know, so we'll see what that means as the week yeah, goes on.
We will. All right, so let's dive into Steelers here. It's kind of weird we're coming off the bye. We sort of had the extra BBP2 last week where we talked a lot about the Tyler Eifert decision and how that went down, which was fairly interesting in him going on IR and the team. There just seemed to be a lack of communication between the two.
A little bit.
Is that what we can call it?
I think so.
Yeah. There just seemed to be a little disconnect between the two.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all fine. But he's basically not their player anymore.
No.
I mean, he's on injured reserve, and when he comes back, he will be a free agent. So, I don't know when we'll see him next. Just thinking that,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to come around. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to for a while, considering he has surgery. When guys have surgery midseason, a lot of times they're gone for 2-3 weeks when they're recovering and stuff like that.
And who knows where his representation feels he should rehab?
Yeah,
whom we should rehab. Now he wouldn't have to pay for any of that being here in town.
But I don't.
You know, they can still make arrangements if they decide. You know, he needs to be elsewhere.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very odd, and we'll see how it plays out. We'll follow that, but let's talk about what actually matters this year, and that's beating the Steelers. One thing that I think is interesting in looking at this game, did your opinion – we talked a lot about how the Steelers, they're bad, they're dysfunctioning, and this, that, and the other. Did your opinion change after they beat Kansas City in Kansas City? Or did it feel the same? I have a thought on that, but I'll let you start.
No.
Yeah.
AFC North, still trash.
Still trashy.
So, I look, no, they. I give them all the credit in the world. And I think if you were to have pinned me down in the BBP last week and being like, pick the game, I probably would have picked the Steelers. Just because it seemed like a perfect Steelers win. You know what I mean? They hadn't really beaten anybody. They had all this dysfunction. Bad loss to the Jags. Ben being surly. About him saying stuff, people ask him about the stuff he says, and says, don't tell me about the things I say. Like, it just seemed ripe. And then also watching Andy Reid for the better part of a decade in Philadelphia and just knowing that he tends to have those games as a head coach in big moments. And it happened
just
again.
Just going with his gut, Jim.
Yeah.
You know. How do you not take the points to pull within a score in the midway through the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Fourth and two.
Yeah. So, you only give the league's leading rusher nine attempts. Now, I understand a little that was due to the time of possession in the first half. But anyway, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised the team took shots at Todd Haley, and he says, okay, I'll give the ball to Le'Veon Bell 35 times against the league's 27th ranked defense. Oh, by the way, Kansas City was winning games 5-0, but aside from pasting New England, they were close.
Yeah, they've been scoring points and been winning shootouts.
Yes. So, I mean, if you were to really, you know, that's our job is to watch these games. So, like, I think I'm Kansas City's a good team. They weren't a juggernaut. Pittsburgh's a okay team with some really good players. And you catch, you get the tip ball, 51 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Pinned to the sideline. I mean, yeah, that goes to, you know, what the tip ball here,
how different,
that goes the other way.
How different is that game if that tipped ball doesn't tip directly to Antonio Brown, who's able to one-hand it and go all the way? I mean, you know, should have been picked. It went off the guy's face mask.
Right.
I mean, it's Chiefs ball. Assuming a guy catches a ball that he probably catches 99 times out of 100.
Right.
Chiefs ball going the other way to go win the game. And you know, no one's talking about Antonio Brown's big highlight. I mean, that's it. That's right. The game right there.
Yeah.
A ball that's a one percenter that it bounces up off his helmet right to the next guy.
So I'm not sure where I'm going to go yet with our weekend prediction, Paul, but I think that says it all right there, my opinion of the Steelers. I mean, I think they're okay.
I think the Steelers are on the I saw today. Is it the 11-year anniversary of Denny Green? They are who we thought they were. They are the same team they have been,
right,
in a different way. They beat teams that are very good. They play up to the level of that they need to, and they tend to play down and lose games they shouldn't. All the time. Happened every year since this Bengals-Steelers thing has been going back and forth under the DGE, the Dalton Green era. I mean, it's like, this is what happens. The Steelers impress you. You think they're going to go 15-1, but they don't. They go 11-5,
right,
because they lose three or four games against teams that they shouldn't.
Right.
And they beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
Traditionally. And so I think they're very much what they have been, but for a different reason. Their defense is now, so you almost go back to those early years of Dalton Green where their defense was part of what carried them, and they had Roethlisberger. They're growing back to that now because their young defense appears to be figuring some things out, and they've just got a lot of quality players that they've hit on. 7 of their 11 starters are 24 years or younger.
Yeah,
they've spent the last 3 years drafting to try to fix this thing, and know that would be enough to and then keep Bell and Brown,
right,
and Roethlisberger, and then they just spent everything else trying to draft and fix their corners and their secondary and their pass rushers,
right,
and it seems to be coming true now.
Yeah, the money, if you follow the money, it's on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I think Cam Hayward got paid, right? But other than that, I mean, you're right.
Did Tuitt get money yet?
Maybe he just got it. Maybe he just got. But your point though, Paul, like that, like the young guys cost control, whether they're the first round picks or whatever, and then, you know, 90-year-old James Harrison, you know, dust him off for a sec at the end of the game.
Yeah,
if
he can just go against Fisher every game, he'll be all right.
Well, there's a Fisher on this team.
There is a Fisher on this team. He'll probably do that to him too.
We might see old man pass rush again.
Yeah,
which is basically just like running a straight line.
Bengals sucks. Freak out because they can't block a single 35 and up year old. I mean, yeah.
To your point, yeah. I mean, the Steelers do look a little different, especially defensively.
And offensively, they haven't really been consistent at anything all year. And the couple times they've shown some worth, some consistency on offense, has been when they've just fed Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. And I would think against the Bengals, that would probably be their strategy. I think it's pretty easy to see that. As good as this defense has been at getting after the passer,
yeah,
and you know what how they've traditionally had success against Antonio Brown,
right?
Knowing what you're going to see, you know, I would expect to see a whole lot of Le'Veon Bell again. I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Yeah.
And that'll probably end up being the difference in this game, is whether or not the Bengals can stop them. Because if they can, I think the offense would be able to scrape out some points and use some field position to their advantage. I mean, we wrote about this a little bit. The template for winning against Pittsburgh, now, there haven't been many in the last 7-8 years. The template for winning has been clear. The 3 times that they've beaten the Steelers since the year they swept in 09, they've won 3 times. They held the Steelers to 10 points every time.
Yeah.
It was 16-10. You know, it was 13-10 in that game that clinched the playoffs back in 2012. They won 20-10 in a game here. The defense wins them these games.
Yeah.
They don't win shootouts. Not since the 05 TJ Houshmandzadeh terrible towel on the shoe.
Yeah.
Have we seen the offense go and win a Pittsburgh game? It's always been a defensive game. And that's maybe why the Bengals feel good about where they're at going to Pittsburgh this time.
Yeah, and especially up at Heinz Field too, Paul. Like if you're going to win there, I mean, even the great offensive year of 15, that was the one, for them to get to 7-0.
Yeah.
That was a defensive game. And I think, I am curious to hear from the Bengals defenders about this because, Roethlisberger has played the Bengals 20 times. 26. I think Baltimore, he's only played 20. He gives the Bengals the ball.
Yeah.
Consistently. I mean, Reggie Nelson's not here, but whatever. He turns it over. He gets sacked. But in the five games Le'Veon Bell's played in his career, and he's missed a few due to injury and suspension, they're 4-1. The one loss was when he wrecked his knee in 15.
So he didn't even complete that game.
So, I think to me, Paul, Vontaze Burfict and Nick Vigil.
Right. Which we talked about last week against Buffalo, but this is that was a team whose offense had struggled and had a really good defense.
Right.
You're talking about a similar model, except they didn't have guys like Brown, Bell, and Roethlisberger.
Right. Or even Jesse James is just an out. I mean, they had Charles Clay, who then got hurt.
Yeah.
But, Nick Vigil thought, if he thought trying to keep up with Shady McCoy was a thing.
This will be a thing.
Right.
And if you haven't gone against Le'Veon Bell, I do think it takes some getting used to understanding what he's trying to do and how he does it. He's just so unique in the way he runs the ball. Now, most of these guys on this team have done it before, but a guy like Vigil, who's going to be doing a lot of it, has not. So how many missed tackles are we going to see, or missed run fits are we going to see from Nick Vigil? That could be a key to this game because you so often – it just takes one time where he shakes a guy into the wrong hole or makes a miss with his patience or his explosion, and he's gone. That's what makes him so dangerous. So that's going to be a huge part of this game. I'm really excited for this game, probably as interested in an outcome as I have been since the opener, because I just think it's just the ultimate measuring stick. The Bengals, the 4 years in the Marvin era, they have won the North. They have beaten the Steelers at least once. Now, teams can win divisions and get swept by another team in their division. It happens all the time. It's not crazy to think that, of course they beat the Steelers once if you're going to win your division.
Right.
Yeah, but that's how they have to do it. And even more so this year because of the hole they dug.
I was just about to say that's the biggest difference.
That is it. Is it they can't just screw around and beat the rep in the rest of their schedule and lose to the Steelers.
Right.
They put themselves in a spot now where it has to go directly through Pittsburgh.
Right.
Chasing a wild card. If they were to lose both Pittsburgh games, finding a wild card would mean going 8-1 or 7-2. Against everyone else.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck going 8-1 or 7-2, even if you were playing anybody not named the Browns in this league nine times or 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially this year, the way it's going. Yeah, you're right, Paul. I mean, I think, and that's the difference a game makes. Because if they're 3-2 right now, which actually I think I went back and looked at our season predictions, and I had them 3-3 after this Steelers week, losing at Heinz Field, but being 3-3. You'd feel different because it's like, well, okay, but we're 500. You lose, but you can't go to 2-4. The Ravens are awful, but you still are behind them in the standings. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's and then you've got you're already in the tiebreaker hole as well,
big time. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a really telling game because we are in this podcast and you guys in the stadiums and sitting around your water coolers or your kegs can sit there and talk all you want about what the Bengals have looked like and how they've put their team together and how good they can be. It always comes back to what these games look like.
Yeah.
The truly good Bengals teams have always been able to find ways to beat the Steelers. Those that can really be real in January. And you could say, well, none of them have been real in January, Paul. Yeah, we know. We know. But the 15 Bengals definitely could have been real in January. Yeah. The 05 Bengals certainly could have been real in January. The 13 Bengals should have been real in January. And 09 was sort of a weird thing. I don't know what to say about that team. You know, that was a, that was a Zim masterpiece. But I just – those were the realest teams that the Bengals have had. And those were the teams that could find ways to really go beat Pittsburgh. And that's how you're judged around these parts.
Right.
And so we will see how far along they are on Sunday with all this young talent that we've talked about emerging. We'll see how far they are along. This is the true measuring stick, the big brother game. Where are you really at?
Yeah, and to that point, so last week's BBP, we talked about how emotional Marvin Lewis was after beating Buffalo. The step taken, right? Finish a game. We haven't won any of these type of things since 15. You know, got to learn how to do it, right? That was kind of the theme after beating a – I think Buffalo's still the number one scoring defense in the league.
They are.
You know, and the step taken, right? There's some turnover, all that stuff. Okay, well, here's the next one. Because it's all about growth and moving forward. And for me, Paul, again, I'm going to rest on the defense here where – The games to me that the Bengals have won against the Steelers or not, it comes down to discipline or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in 15 at Heinz Field, Andy Dalton turned it over a couple times. You didn't have your weird defensive breakdowns and mess ups and screw ups. Okay, so then, but the 15 January loss, okay, now we go to 16. Where they're still hanging on that thread of a comeback here at Paul Brown Stadium. Defense needs to make one stop. They basically kicked the Steelers up and down the field, right? Offense couldn't score, but they were beating them up. And then what happens? There's like four straight defensive penalties, like offsides and hands and interference. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, and basically the Steelers say, yeah, that's what the Bengals do. We were just waiting for them to screw it up.
Even further back, this is exactly along your line of conversation. The 14 finale where the winner wins the North. Dre Kirkpatrick, after the A.J. Green fumble when Mike Mitchell unloaded on A.J. Green's head and put him out for the playoffs, Dre Kirkpatrick gets caught, not able to get his hands on a ball thrown behind Antonio Brown. He goes all the way for a touchdown. Leon Hall lined up against Martavis Bryant in Martavis Bryant's rookie year, deep in their own end with the game hanging the balance over the top 94-yard bomb. Those types of breakdowns have on defense have been prevalent in a game because these games are often very much similar,
right?
Like what we've been talking about, it's just the one or two times where they get caught that have really cost them in this series. And it's sort of the difference between what you wrote about earlier this year, the brink of dominance.
Right.
It's the difference between good and great and dominant is you just can't have those things can't happen. You have to be right every single time. And these guys have not been able to do that all the time against Pittsburgh. In fact, they've lost 7 of the last 8 against the Steelers, which includes the meltdown game.
Yeah.
And that's the worst run they've had against Pittsburgh since the beginning, the Shula era.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the lost decade. And you never want to hear Dave Shula's name on this podcast unless you interviewed him.
Right.
That means something has gone terribly awry. So anyway, that's kind of where that's at. It's
wait. Can I just
go ahead?
Can I just kneecap the Browns?
Can we do an ad and then kneecap the Browns?
No, because it's a good segue.
All right, go ahead.
Hugh Jackson wishes he was Dave Shula right now. All right, let's hear about our great sponsors at 50 West Brewing Company.
No.
Wait, Hugh, let's send Hugh J.
No. We'll get to 50 West in a second. That comment is a perfect segue to ZipRecruiter. Do you need a job? Because look, if you are looking to post a job, if you're looking for, you know how to find a great a great person for your job, like Hugh Jackson would be, if you need an offensive coordinator. If you were posting for an offensive coordinator and you need to find one, you got to use ZipRecruiter. Because if you go to ZipRecruiter, they'll hook you up with all the best candidates, even the ones that you don't even know are on the market yet, because they're about to be on the market here pretty soon.
Right. So you're right, Paul. If you're in need of great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. You must have ZipRecruiter, who can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can rest easy knowing that job, your job, is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts in smart matching technology, Paul, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire. So you can find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time to try it for free. Everyone in Ohio, Northern Ohio, for sure, all over the country. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
Do you think Hugh is getting the ZipRecruiter notification for, like, offense coordinator openings, like, ding, and he's standing next to Sashi Brown, and Sashi's like, what was that ZipRecruiter text you just got? Don't worry about that, Sashi.
Yeah.
Just trying to lay the pillows out.
Yeah, I think so.
Man, the Browns.
I had to. It was great. Hugh would be dying for that great 2-0 start that Dave Shula had.
He would.
Before Favre became Favre.
Yeah, and then it all went downhill for D. Shula at that point. We have an update. We have a John Ross update.
Yeah.
Who's excited about that? I don't want this to become the J-U-P, the JUP, the John, well, that's not going to be, it'd be the John, the J-RUP. It'd be the J-RUP.
It's like Tyler Eifert went away.
Yeah.
So now we get this.
Dude, this is totally what's happened. Eifert is gone. Now we get John Ross updates.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. He's taken the role. So, but we don't have to talk and speculate about John Ross because he actually talked today for the first time since his injury that happened on September 20th in the Wednesday practice of Packers Week. He, of course, came back early on Wednesday. I mean, he talks about a bunch of things. I'll pull play this for you. But I think optimism kicks up that he could return against Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that yet, because I think they're going to want to see him participate fully in a practice and be listed as a full participant. He's not going to go limited all week and then suddenly go on Sunday.
Yeah.
I would think he's got to be full at least by Thursday.
Yeah, I think Monday, I think reading between the lines of what you guys will hear him say about his practice today was hard today, if you will. There's no injury report necessary. See how that reacts on the off day, Tuesday. And then how does it feel Wednesday? I mean, there's steps in process here.
I'm still not sure he goes Sunday. This feels like it's like, okay, just when you think you should be back, then we'll give it an extra week.
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, with this being a huge game and there being no real tape out there on John Ross, perhaps they do try to wheel him out there to get a big play that they need. We shall see. But anyway, rather than us speculate about John Ross and where he's at, we'll just let him talk. So here's John Ross meeting with reporters after he returned from his first practice on Monday.
Yeah, it's your old practice. Can you just speak to being able to be clear to do that?
Oh, it just feels good. I mean, you never want to be sidelined, and especially it's something you've never experienced before. So, I mean, it's definitely good to finally be back out there.
You start feeling better that week you got on the rehab field? Was that at least a good place to start feeling better?
I've always kind of felt pretty good, but I think it's smart to not rush back, especially being in the NFL, it's a long season. I think in college, if you rush back, it's it's a shorter season, you know, so I've kind of always been feeling pretty good, you know, but definitely wanted to make sure I was in a better position to where I can, you know, get out there and do more than, you know, what my leg was letting me do.
How much did you push it today?
I was going a lot today.
Marvin said he just needs to see you practice more. Do you feel like health wise you're 100%?
Oh, well, we're getting there. You know, I think I'll never feel 100%. But you know, I feel like I'm in a good position.
Never feel 100% mean this year, the rest of the year.
No, I just mean like period. You know, just you know.
It was football.
Right. You know, I think my coach, you know, told me that last year. If you feel 100%, then you're not playing the game right. You know, so I just feel like. No matter what I do, you know, I'm always gonna be dinged up, I'm always gonna have nicks and nacks, but never gonna feel 100%. But as far as you know what I'm going through, I'm definitely feeling really good.
Have you you got hurt in the preseason finale? Did you do anything in the game against Houston? Did you re-aggregate it?
Oh, I just think I was pushing it. You know, that's probably a lot on my end. You know, not communicating. Just wanted to get out there and try to prove myself, which is, you know, a young mentality. You know, so now I'm in a better state of mind, and I'm definitely treating it better. You know, as far as you know, what I should be doing opposed to you know what I think they want. You know, so
how'd it feel there?
Great. Felt really good. Got out there, got a chance to run. I think bye week helped a lot, not just for me, but for everyone. You know, so got a chance to you know really recover and heal up well, and it felt good today.
All right, so there is John Ross. Hop back on the Deuce later this week. We'll have more stuff on things said on Wednesday in practice, and we'll have the full updates on what John Ross does do Wednesday and Thursday and sort of a better idea of his outlook for this weekend if the first-round pick is going to go.
Yeah. You know what? John Ross likes to stay in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've talked to him a little bit about this because I've asked him here and there about, like, where do you like to go out to eat? You know, Cincinnati's got some good food.
Yeah.
Rookie's always interesting because they're not quite sure what to do, where to go,
no.
Where to spend their money. You know, don't want to be seen out. They're free, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I don't go out.
You don't go out?
No. Well, I kind of do, but I personally, Paul, I like to get food sent to me through Blue Apron. And it's October, it's its fifth anniversary, so it's. Blue Apron is bringing back its top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years as picked by you all, the Blue Apron community. And I know I'm part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have known it,
you
but
are.
I learned it.
Yeah.
Thanks to all these recipes because they're all back on the menu for this limited time only. So definitely got to try out Blue Apron's all-time customer favorites by going to blueapron.com/beat. Everything is... it's comes from 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers from across the U.S. And, Paul, you know, it brings us together.
It does.
I like cooking because it takes away all of the things that I can't do, like math and measuring. Everything comes to you in one spot the way it needs to be, perfectly portioned out, and I can have you over.
Yep. You can have me over, and you can look really impressive.
Yes. And Sam and Kareem, I say, look, I need this kind of food. Cook for my guys.
Yep.
And it all comes in one spot. So, you know, you need to go to blueapron.com/beat. You'll get $30 off that first meal with free shipping.
We're giving you money.
That's how we hook you up.
Yep.
You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Yep. That's great stuff. Make sure you check them out. Okay. I got an idea that I've sort of been kicking around. And we're going to need our strong BBP listenership to help us with this idea going forward. Although, I like today's entry. So we think power rankings are stupid. You know why we think they're stupid?
I know why they're stupid.
I was just going to say because they are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even going to get specific.
I was going to get specific.
Power rankings are dumb because no one knows what they're talking about.
No.
At all. And people that do power rankings really don't know what they're talking about. Like, that's across the board.
Yeah.
They're about the dumbest things out there. So, we don't know what we're talking about stuff either. So, we think that we should be doing some power rankings. But we're not going to do power rankings about real stuff that matters. I want us to do some power rankings about some insignificant minutia that really gets your blood boiling in arguments. Because there's nothing quite makes for a better argument than arguing about something that in the big picture really is just means nothing.
Right.
So those are the ones I really want to win. So we want you, the BPP listenership, to send us ideas of what we should power rank.
Yeah.
Things you want to see us power rank.
And then we can fight about it and debate about it with you.
Yes.
On Twitter, Facebook,
we'll
Instagram.
Debate about it on Twitter. We'll put it in the walkthrough. We will get into it here on the BBP.
Yeah.
Every week I want us to have a quick power rankings segment. So this week we are going to power rank milk. Types of milk. What are the best types of milk?
Yeah.
Out of all, I mean, you've got different types. You got whole milk. You got skim milk. You got the 1%. You got chocolate milk. You got raw milk. You got almond milk.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different milks. Buttermilk.
It's pretty clear to me.
It's pretty. I've got some ideas too. So all right, let's go with some power rankings. First of all, like any good power rankings, you start at 5, right?
Yeah.
Don't you have to go start at 5 and count down? Do you have a top 5?
Yes.
Or do you want to just do 3 because you're not sure about?
No,
the rest
I've had
of
all the milks.
You've had. All right, let's go.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go straight almond. Is my number 5.
Okay. Almond at 5.
Whole, 4.
Okay. I'm listening.
Coconut milk, 3.
Ooh, coconut milk. That's a good one. Although I don't have a whole lot of coconut milk experience, my little coconut milk experience I do, it's pretty solid.
Yeah. Number 2, 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, vanilla soy.
Vanilla soy. You're so highfalutin. That is some elitist stuff. That's like some 1%er stuff. I mean,
no, you
is,
can't do 1%. Notice that's not on that list. No, that 1% is not on the list.
Only the 1%ers drink that though. Vanilla soy?
Yes.
Is that all you purchase?
No.
I really learned something new about you today.
No, 2%, if you were to go into my refrigerator, 2% will be there. But if I had
mm-hmm.
The ultimate options of all fridges and supermarkets, I'd go vanilla soy.
All right,
I like that little flavor.
All right, I vanilla soy is not on my list. That is, listen, I'm a blue collar guy. I don't come from a vanilla soy background like you. All right, I'll give you almond milk. Is not. I have it a little higher than you. So I have whole at 5. Almond milk at 4. I moved it up because almond. Do you know what kind of good nutrients for your brain is in the almond milk?
They're good.
Dude, that is the way way to go. So almond milk I have there. Then I have skim.
Oh.
Skim.
That's so gross.
No,
that's
skim.
Not even milk.
No,
it's not even milk.
It's,
that can't even be on
the list. If you're using
it,
it's good for cereals.
No.
It's good for cereals because I don't want some thick milk with my cereal. It needs to be a little lighter.
There's water in it.
I mean,
making me mad. Skim milk is not even. It's not even a milk.
Skim. Then I'm going 1%. And then number one. I can't believe it wasn't on your list. Chocolate milk, son. Chocolate milk. A good quality chocolate milk, one that you make yourself with some syrup, some Hershey's, and you mix it in. You get
milk.
The spoon and you mix it. What do you mean it's not milk? It's milk with chocolate in it. How is that not milk?
Because there's stuff. What milk are you putting it in? You're putting chocolate into. You're putting a foreign substance. You're putting a PED into that milk.
Look,
therefore it is.
What
not
is
milk.
What is. Almond milk is inserting stuff into regular milk. Look, do I have to specify exactly? Because then it's going to be chocolate into a 1% milk. Is that okay?
No, because it's skimming 1%. That's not even real milk. See, he's making me mad. Power rankings, dumb stuff.
Power rankings.
Making me mad.
We'll see if it stays or goes. But if you have an idea of anything that we should power rank, or if you would like to voice your opinion on milk, whether you think chocolate milk is real milk, or whether that vanilla soy crap should even be allowed in America for just to stay in France, then you can come back and get hit us up on that. So that's our power ranking segment. All right, you know what though? You know what doesn't have milk? 50 West.
Yeah.
They do not have milk out there. They only have good beers. They just won a gold medal at the International Beer Olympics.
Yeah.
So they've got that out there on tap. They've got Coast to Coast on tap. But remember, Sundays, they've got Sunday Ticket. They've got all the games on all the screens, but they're like the Bengals' home for Optimistic Bobby, as you know. So you can go down there this Sunday, Bengals at Pittsburgh, watch the game with all Bengals fans with good beer. It's going to be a nice day. They'll have the garage doors open and everything wide open. It's a great place to go and watch games. So head on down there. Of course, they're big sponsors of the BBP, and we love Optimistic Bobby and everybody down there. So head on down to 50 West on Sunday. All right, let's wrap up the BBP, and let's talk a little bit about why you're mad, which besides the whole milk thing, you got to let that go. You had a lot of time. I figure when you have this much free time, like we did on the bye week, that's a lot of time for you to get mad about stuff.
Yeah.
So what particularly irked you during the bye week?
How do I phrase this the right way? So I love my nieces and nephews and being asked to do things for them. They're small. I am big. Therefore, I am asked to do things for them.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. That's great. The thing I don't enjoy is when they say, it's like, hey, put this thing together. And then it's not really going together because pieces are missing. Mm. And then they lose interest. And then they go away. But then it becomes, and then, like, I could just leave it. I don't have to finish putting it together. Right? But then it sucks you in. Then it becomes you against the crappy toy.
Yeah.
That just, it's not working. And you can't understand in your adult brain why it's not going together.
Correct.
And then you think you put it together. It's like IKEA furniture with the boards and stuff. And you put it backwards like, this is like, it's not that because it's like a toy.
It should be for children,
and like,
that's more frustrating.
Light up, and it doesn't light up.
Yeah,
and then you want to break it, but you can't because it's the little kids.
And that would teach. That would be a bad example.
Even though they left 20 minutes ago and don't care anymore, if they break it, then they will care.
All right, so you want to know why I'm happy? Yeah, I'm happy because I think a lot. Most people listen to podcasts know I'm grew up here. I'm from this city. I love this city. I worked all around the South and couldn't wait to get back here because I love Cincinnati. I was so excited to see our fine city this weekend with the big Blink Festival. Here's why. You know, the lights and the art was very cool, and that's all awesome. It was very nice. A lot of fun, interesting. With all the exhibits that were spread out all across downtown, the banks, over the Rhine. The coolest part, though, was seeing so many different people from different corners of this city. So many different factions. Everybody that encompasses this city was out and walking around down, not just downtown, OTR, Finley Market, Central Business, the banks. There's a lot of people that only go to the banks. They don't want to go anywhere else. There's a lot of people that only go to the OTR. They don't want to go anywhere else. They were all out everywhere and just walking the city for four straight days. It was awesome. That was, to me, more so than any of the art, any of the lights, was the coolest thing to see. You know, we talk so much about division, and Lord knows we have plenty of that here and elsewhere. But I think it was an unbelievable thing to see unity amongst everyone that lives in the city, everyone agreeing this is really cool, everyone embracing it. And then the businesses and everybody else that was involved coming together, understanding that cause. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me from Blink, beyond like light shows and like cool things that you can go inside of and like people can do shadow puppets and stuff. Like all that stuff was really awesome, but the coolest part I thought was the way it really brought the whole city together. 1 million people on the streets over the course of 4 days. Truly, you know, just huge hat tip to everybody involved in that and helping, whether it was sacrificing your parking lots for people to sit on stumps and watch, you know, stuff get projected on the side of a building or whatever. I just thought it was really cool for everybody involved. So congrats to City of Cincinnati. Y'all were awesome. It was really cool to be down there and kind of feel the vibe this weekend. So that's why I'm happy. A bit of a serious note, but I figure with our whole milk talk, we should probably talk about something a little more serious every once in a while. Yeah, you're right. We'll get back to the dumb stuff very soon. Anyway, send us what you want us to rank, and we will rank it next week. Well, of course, yeah. If you've got milk rankings, we want them 1 through 5. So hit us up on that. Reminder coming this week, BBP2, we will have that with reaction on stuff that goes on Wednesday and into Thursday. Injury, maybe, I don't know. Anybody shows up and wants to talk, or if they just want to tell us that we're hyping the game too much, we'll see. Then BTS on Tuesday, Carlos Dunlap will be our guest. So come on down to Holy Grail on the Banks, 7 o'clock. Come meet Carlos and all that stuff. And of course, we will have all your coverage of Bengals at Steelers as we head up to Pittsburgh this weekend. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. Pick up your newspaper, all that stuff. So anyway, thanks to everybody for listening and tolerating our silliness. We will be back at you later this week. So have a good one, everybody.